I want to do another lesson on the kingdom of God on earth. I know that I'm a Johnny come lately to this, and I recognize the fact that it's taken me 32 years to really grasp this concept. And this concept will revolutionize your walk. It will revolutionize your life. It really will give you more purpose than you've ever had. I really don't think I ever rightly grasp the calling that's on the life of every person that accepts the yoke of Christ Jesus. It's light and it's easy, and the responsibility that comes with it. In Luke chapter 11, we have read it many times. It came to pass that while Jesus was praying, his disciples said unto him, "Teach us to pray." And so he told them, he said, "When you pray, pray, our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in the earth." You can be seated. I'm just now grasping this concept. Those of you that have been here for prior lessons, you understand that there are three portions of time as we know time. There is this world, there is the world to come. They are mirror images. And what we are beginning to grasp is the fact that if we aren't going to litter when we get to that city whose streets are paved with gold, then we shouldn't litter here. What we can't and will not and should not do in that kingdom to come is the same things we will not, should not, and cannot do in this present kingdom. Christ came to bring into us the kingdom. This is exactly what the forerunner prophesied in Isaiah chapters 40, verses 3 through so and so, that it was a prophecy of John the Baptist that would come, make straight a desert and the highway for our God. And he preached, when he fulfilled this scripture, all four Gospels lead out that John begins his ministry by saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is after the 400 years, actually 430 years of silence. And now then, why is it the kingdom? Repent, because the kingdom is at hand. Because Jesus Christ was bringing to us the fulfillment of what had been lost when Adam fell. The first Adam whom God made, God only ever made two men. He made Adam out of the dust of the ground, and he created Yeshua, or Jesus, out of the DNA from the throne of the Father in heaven through the womb of a virgin woman. And he said the first Adam was made a living soul, and the second Adam, speaking of Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Adam lost the Spirit of God in the garden. His illumination went out. Clothed himself with fig leaves. And so what we see is that here we transpire 4,000 years later. On the fourth day, the light of the world comes out. Jesus comes to us in forms of flesh and makes available to us that regeneration of the Spirit. The kingdom is at hand. He went about preaching and teaching the things of the kingdom. Now, you probably caught this long before I did. This is about kingdom now in this world. This world, you and I are to live the kingdom principles, because what we do here, we should not do here what we would not do there when it comes to principles, integrity, character. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. So when we pray, we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I will walk today under the discipline of the kingdom that's coming, for I have partaken of it and tasted of the good world to come." In 2 Timothy, Paul is stating a fact when he says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I don't think that I have ever comprehended exactly what that meant. I don't think, without grasping what it is Paul is saying, he's saying, "Look, I've fought a good fight." He kept his eye on the prize. And we, many times, or if you're like me, just envisioned, "Wow, I get to live forever." Of course, you can't grasp that in any comprehensive way. But the truth of the matter is, we never biblically saw what it is that God was teaching. And that is the fact that this kingdom that's coming is not so different than what should be here right now. It's a world that is like a world you would love to live in. No lies are told. There is no unforgiveness. There is no war. There is no hatred. There's no murder. There's no adultery. All the things that cause the problem in the God of this present world's domain will be no more. And I'm saying that because if you're listening, I'm not trying to kill some time. I am trying to feed you something that will change your life. I know that I mentioned to the first service this morning that someone I was speaking to this week, and I asked them what church they went to, invited them to this church. They said, well, I don't go very often, but when I do go, I go to such and such a church, because I'll tell you one thing, that guy is a hoot, and when I leave there, I've always got a smile on my face. My goal is not to make you smile this morning. My goal is not to be a hoot. And if that's why you have come to a church, you've come to the wrong one. My goal is to equip you with the Word of God, not to some fantasy that you have emulsified through American religion to think you can just believe on the Lord and then do anything you want, and that makes you someone that will be fit for the kingdom. Because it took me a long time to recognize the fact, and I'm speaking to you from the depth of my heart and of all knowledge that I've assessed and comprehended and put together and formulated and been illuminated by the Spirit for 32 years, that what I am seeing now more than ever, I'm going to be on this for the rest of my life, is the very fact that there is no cleaning station between here and heaven. Who you are now will determine whether you make it or not. We have lived a life that we believe we can do whatever we want and sprinkle a little prayer of, oh God, forgive me, and that's going to change everything. God's not looking for your prayer life and the words you speak. He's looking for your actions.
Amen.
He's looking for how you live your life. He is looking for executives and people that really do want to reign and rule with Him. Now, stay with me. I'll get back to the Scripture, but let me express it like this. You see, the truth of the matter is, not everyone has the same aptitude. Not everyone has the same abilities. And I'm teaching to you something that I can prove to you in the Word. And the truth of the matter is, some people, in all honesty, David said, man, if I can just be a doorkeeper, if that's as far as you want to go, just make sure you make it that far. But it's going to take a lot of effort to make it that far. Some of you desire to do more. And the reason that God has put that desire in you, because He has a greater calling. Some desire to know, to sit on thrones. And some desire to reign. And some desire to rule. There's all levels of desire He's put within us. But all of those desires are to be used in the giftings. And all the giftings, we are not talking about gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about some of you couldn't carry a tune like me in a 5-gallon wash tub if you were asked to sing. Other people just innately, when they were born, have the ability to hold a correct frequency through their vocal system. And what are they doing with it? Some have an innate knowledge to be able to put together finances. Some, you can go right down the list. But what we don't understand is, whatever that talent that's been given to you, remember the parable of the talents? If you don't recognize whatever talent it is, you see, somehow we have differentiated and separated our life from the church. We somehow believe that our talents and our giftings, that's what we do when we leave the church. And this is where we have to take an hour or so a week, you know? So we maintain a church mentality and then a true world mentality. And I believe the reason that God is not only illuminating this to me, but I'm listening to other messages. He's illuminating this to many, 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 many pastors all over the world, because it is time that we recognize we are where the rubber needs to hit the road. And what God is calling us to is to recognize that it's His kingdom now, preparing to bring the kingdom to come. And if I won't throw out my litter and garbage out the car window as I'm driving in heaven, then why would you do it now? Now, I'm just simply using that to illustrate, you probably aren't going to go in any porn shops when you're in heaven. You probably won't get on and watch porn or cable TV. You probably won't get silly, sloppy drunk when you get to heaven. You probably won't have affairs or Satan. If you're not going to litter here, there, then you can't do it here. You can't have it both ways. You cannot have the devil's world now, and you believe he's going to wave a magic wand, speaking of God, at the resurrection of the dead, take everything you did for yourself, somehow credit that you did it for God, and make you a reigner and a ruler in heaven. It is everyone, oh, this is deep, and you ain't going to leave smiling until you grasp it, and if you can grasp it, you'll leave here happier than you've ever been, because you realize what an opportunity you're given. It doesn't matter if you're a brain surgeon, it doesn't matter if you mow yards. What matters is, are you using the talents, skills, and abilities to somehow use it for righteousness, for character, for every day we can represent Christ in His kingdom. We are written epistles. We somehow in Christendom have taken that to mean we've got to pack a Bible, and we need to, but some of us don't need to pack a Bible.
You're doing the kingdom of God more harm than you're doing it good. I wish you'd take your Jesus sticker off of the car when you're flipping people the bird and you're cutting in and out of traffic and you're breaking the speed limit. And I know at least enough not to put a Jesus I love you on my car. I'm smiling. Did you catch what I'm saying? If you're not going to be a, it's either water that produces sweet or produces bitter. But if somehow you are so disluded that you think you can have bitter and sweet water coming out of the same vessel, you miss the whole point. You have fallen into the unbelievable insanity of American Christianity. You're someone that wants to buy into the best life now, feel good now. It's all about me. He went to the cross so my football team would win. It better win. I bet a lot of money on him. God's going to help me. What happens when you got Christians on both teams that both bet?
I guess he... Well, let me get off that. You see, I want to get back to the scripture for a moment because I think we missed the whole point that Paul was saying. He's saying, you know, I know this. All this stuff I went through, I did it for a reason. There is a crown in the world to come.
Amen.
And what I have attained here is all I'm going to be given there. Do you understand what I just said? Do you catch? I mean, let's come out of silly American Christianity, because it is silly. It has gotten weirder and whacked out so far from the Word. It's all about us. More lights, more show, better music, action, just the right amount of time. Do not bring them into any type of discomfort. And for God's sake, don't ever say anything to offend them to righteousness. We are living in an hour where we do not want to wrap our mind around the responsibility of the fact that I will receive no more there than what I am doing for Him here. Now, yes, it will be given dividends. Yes, it will draw interest. But it will not draw on what you have not sown.
Amen.
And if I am a nag and a hag and a harper, if I am negative, if I am a liar, if I can't tell the truth, if I can't have integrity, if I can't have character, if I'm a truce breaker, all those things that we overlook, because after all, Jesus loves us. And what's incredible, even respecters of persons. I came out of a religion when God brought us into this thing. It was in a Pentecostal movement. And my God, it was like you had the kings and the court and then all the peons. And you knew you were a peon if you ever ran into someone that was in the king's court, because if you ran into them outside the church structure, they had nothing to do with you or Satan. He that's a respecter of person, it's sin. Whenever you do not recognize every human being you come into contact with as a human being.
Amen.
Saved, unsaved, sinner, Muslim, atheist, they're human first. And until they cause you to believe or treat them otherwise. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to preach. The crown I've laid up is not something God did for me. He made available to me eternal life. The crown I've laid up has to do with what I did while I was here. Every good work. Now, no one misunderstand how we catch this. In Christendom, we take what I've just said, and here's the way we interpret it. First off, let's make sure we all keep the will of God a big mystery. Because if we can keep the will of God a big mystery, then none of us will ever have to live up to accountability. So if we'll just make sure no one can really understand the Word, then we can all go about doing whatever we want and hoping there is a fire insurance. It means what it says. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, do you not know? See, would anyone here want to sit under an unrighteous judge? When you go to court and you have been righteous and you have been falsely accused and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's no guilt on your behalf. And yet you want someone sitting there that's a liar, a cheat, can be bribed, and they're about to pass judgment on you? That their life doesn't add up in any way to being a just judge? Do you want them to sit there? Would any of you want to put yourself in that? Do you want God to be like that? Well, it just all depends on how I was feeling today. The angels didn't really praise me the way I like. I think I'll just burn this one.
Do you not know,
1 Corinthians chapter 6,
the saints will judge the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know you not we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? I'm trying to share with you, I doubt 50% of us that are going to listen to this message in 80 different countries, over thousands of people across the face of the earth, as they tune into this podcast, will grasp what I just read in its Scripture. I'm trying to share with you that God is illuminating His mind and He says to all His ministers throughout the world that we are coming into a knowledge that has been lost. And that knowledge that is lost is we really don't serve God in here. We really do serve Him the second we walk out there. And when I say serving, it's not silly some little Christian theology that, oh, well, I'm not called to be a missionary, so I'll just go on about doing everything else I like. I'm not called to be this. No, that's not at all what God's talking about. He didn't ever call anyone to be a missionary. The first would be faithful to the church. He didn't ever call anyone to do some weighty thing before we can do a small thing. And He won't necessarily call anyone that does all the other things because they're not small correctly. He's called us to a life of integrity, a life of character, a life of representing a kingdom of righteousness and the personage of Christ Jesus. And if you manage to do that, then we have really done something. Because if you think He's going to take your unrighteous life and let us sit on a throne and judge angels, I'm not angry. I'm not angry, please. I know I'm shouting. I can't help it. I really wish I wouldn't do that because, you know, intellectually, some people can't receive this emotion. So receive what I just read. It's the Word. Regardless of what, how you want it encapsulated to swallow. Swallow it and digest it. Do you not know the saints will judge the world? I can be in deepest, darkest jungle and get to know Jesus and never make more than a dollar a day. And I can reign and rule because I have brought my body under subjection and walked in the integrity. And this has nothing to do about money or finances, prestige or power. Everything just opposite. The truth is, I'm teaching on the kingdom today and I'll try to get done. Revelations 20 and 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God, which is not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Bible says if you can't run with the footman, how will you run with the horseman? If you can't get your life and your body under subjection now, are you really naive enough to think when judgment comes to the earth for anyone that holds the name of Jesus that you're going to be able to really live for Him then whenever it's illegal to do it and it'll cost your kids and you their life? You see, we're in a training process. And by our prayers and through the reprogramming, whenever we run to do righteousness and whenever we hunger to learn more of God and draw closer to Him, that's one of the greatest things. My wife and I celebrated 40 years of marriage this year, Johnny. You know what? I call her or she calls me daily when we're apart. And if I don't hear from her or she doesn't hear from me after 40 wonderful years, I know something's wrong. How much more can we confess that we have a relationship with God and not hear from Him throughout the day, Him hear from us? 3 times a day, Muslims 5. Without prayer, there's no power. And so Christ is sharing with us the opportunity while we're here. The opportunity while we're here is simply to prepare ourselves to sit on thrones, to receive a crown. Your payday's not here. I know that won't go over in America. We've got to convince you God's going to make you rich. You're going to drive a Lexus. You're going to live a 5-bedroom home. We've got to convince you He wants the best. Jesus' parents couldn't afford anything but the poorest of sacrifices. The apostles said silver, gold, heavenly, none. But America's changed all that. We don't want to preach Old Testament until it comes to tithing.
We don't want to teach Old Testament until we pull a scripture out of context and show you how to put money in your pocket. I heard the Psalms 38 and 36 lesson. Have you ever wondered?
Oh, God, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble. How many will let me be in trouble for a while?
Yes.
Look, we're going to get this thing so organized we'll be able to fit them in. But anyway, what will happen is this. So, you're on listening to some awesome evangelist hawk you for money again. Isn't that incredibly sickening? Isn't it sickening that Jesus and the apostles, that their lifestyle is so overlooked? And so the evangelists come on and they're on someone else's church or someone else's TV station and they tell you, you need the Psalms 37 lesson. And then when you get behind the scenes, you find out because after they leave and all the checks come in, anything for 37, they get a percentage of it. So it has to be a number that nobody can give accidentally. If you could see behind the scenes of this sick American thought process of mind-numbing, flesh-feeding, scripturally twisted. Y'all still here?
Yes, that's good.
You know what? I just want to smile on my face when I leave. I just want to feel good. Another one came by, stayed with me for 3 hours, visited with me. He got up to leave. He says, Pastor, you had to go fishing with me this evening. Not anyone intended. A few hours before, he said, how's your church doing, Pastor? Is everything going great? He said, well, our church kind of, I don't know. He says, we're not losing any members. True story. I'm not making this stuff up. And I'm not throwing stones. I never said a word. He says, our church is kind of, well, I mean, you know, we're not losing members, but we're not having goat ropings like we were, and we're not having saddle bronks, and we're not doing the roping contest. We're just a lot of those things we haven't done in a few months. I don't know what's going on. Now, see, you don't find that uncommon, do you? Because that's really what church is to you. It's really some place where we have the muscle team in, or this in, or that in, and then we keep us busy doing things that really have no purpose whatsoever to the kingdom.
Right. Right.
Because if you ask someone to come to a prayer, I say, I'd like to come fishing with you, brother, but I've got prayer meeting tonight. I'm not saying that to sound spiritual. I'm saying that because I'm not spiritual. And I know if I don't bring my body under subjection, I know what I'm getting. Now, what amazes me is people that don't have to go to church, don't have to pray, don't have to know the scripture, and they, I guess, can just live sin-free lives. They got it all figured out. They're just climbing the ladder of success. Somehow they're married to this body I've got. Because this body I got will always find a way to make it feel good. Let me get off that. So, 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God's not in word, it's in power. I want to skip real quickly to this. I want to look at four principles today that I want to add to recognizing and understanding what are some kingdom principles that God has brought to you and I. These are things that we can do in our daily lives, and these are things that are expected of each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 28, we know it is the Great Commission. Jesus came and he said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Everybody else up there, they gave him his power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He gave us the commission to teach his word. Yes, baptize as well. Every one of us has been given the commandment, teach his word. What did you come to hear this morning? Teach his word. What am I doing today? I'm teaching his word. Now, when I was in Pentecost, we were called to peak your emotions. We said, man, that'll preach. And then we figured out a way to twist all the scriptures to fit this emotional idea I had. And this is what we thought really meant we had a move of God. Woo! Man, God was really in the place. Really? Anybody leave changed? When they walked out the door, did anyone get more committed? Did anyone have any more character, integrity? Did anyone have any greater understanding of the Word? You see, we've got ditches on every side of this thing, and I'm into emotions. And I speak in tongues, and the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And there's times I shout, and there's times I run. But that's not me growing in wisdom and knowledge and character and integrity. That's me enjoying a spiritual blessing from the Lord. But if I don't go on from there, well, let me get out of that. Teach. You can't teach till you know it. How can anyone say, well, God's about to rapture me because
you know, I'm going to judge the world. And I'm going to judge angels. Oh, there was really good judgment. I'm going to judge them with the word. Oh, really? What's Jude chapter 2 say? Well, you probably don't know because Jude's only got one chapter. How are you going to judge them with the 613 laws when you can't even remember the Ten Commandments? I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. Come on. Isn't your brain bigger than what you have allowed to come into it from the kingdom of God? Don't you really have more capacity? They say 2 to 3 million years of availability in the human psyche of memorization. Don't we really have more room than who's playing football today and what their averages and running distances and all that is? And I sure hope that the Seahawks win because I like that guy catching the ball. My name's Kierce and so is he. Praise God. Don't care to go. Matthew 5:19 simply says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments." This is the word of God. See, God's looking at my actions. We've made Christianity Him looking at our feelings. Well, I feel saved today. Or I feel faith. Or I feel this. It doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is how you act. So whosoever will break the least in one of these commandments shall teach men to do so, he will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall teach, the same will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what, I feel like the Lord called me to preach. I don't think I called myself. Time will tell. But whether I did or He did, it doesn't matter. What matters is there's a righteous crown and a reward waiting for me. Because I didn't come here to tell you fables today. I came here to teach you the absolute, unadulterated Word of God. And that's what you need to do to your children. I told the story, and I know I've got 10 minutes, and I'm very cognizant of the time because, you know, in 10 minutes, we got to get out. Right? I went to see American Sniper. I sat over 2 hours. I was just wishing it went on. But this is church. This is different. Let's go on. Do you have any idea, those of you that think, well, my kids are sitting in here playing on their iPhones, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. Doesn't bother me. Now, you can instruct them and help them improve their performance, but they are receiving more than you realize even when they're in the womb when the Word of God goes forth. Amen. True story. I'm teaching a series, and I hope while I'm tomorrow to get some of these things posted. I'm about 10 lessons behind. True story. First prayer, a little bit about real prayer. You know, first class here in the mornings on Sunday. Rabbi, you know, the first prayer, does everybody know the first prayer you're supposed to say every morning? By God. God Himself told you to say every morning. God did. When you rise each morning, He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength." That is a commandment. And so, therefore, whenever a Jewish child, who were the forerunners of Christianity until Rome got a hold of it, changed this whole thing into a new religion, they would quote that to their children. They had to hand some of them to save their kids from the gas chambers. They gave them to Christians to raise. And some of those that lived through the gas chambers, after many years, came out a few years to find their kids in orphanages. When they came into the orphanages, the Catholic priest said, "We have no Jewish children here." And the rabbi said, "Can I come back tonight?" And so when they had them all gathered at their bunks and they were all together and they were getting ready to go to bed, the rabbi just simply said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." And those that were Jewish and were Orthodox raised as little kids from the time they could speak began to say, "Is one Lord and thou shalt be." He said, "I'll tell you all those." Train up a child in the way they should go. But when they are old, they are not depart from it. Now, I know this is going to make me very unpopular. Thank God for your reward. When He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy mind, all thy heart," all that means loving more than I love your spouse. I have said from this pulpit, if my wife will never quit living for God, if my children never quit living for God, I will keep living for God. That's why Jesus said, "Hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. If you don't do that, then you can't serve me." In comparison, these principles I've handed down to my children. If your spouse won't serve God, you go on and you serve God. If your kids won't serve God, you go on and you serve God.
What are you trying to express? I'm simply trying to express that fortunately, not by works we've done totally, but we'll take some credit. I don't know what that sounded like. I've got three grown boys, 40, 36, 37, 33, and they're all in church. And they were little heathen devils just like I was when I was a teenager. But here's the point. The point is, they never one time saw mom and dad end up on Sunday and decided they were going to church or not. We decided that one time, the day I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they never asked, are we going to church? They may feign sickness, illness, all kinds of stuff. They never, and this is not about Holy Day. I'm trying to make a point. When you understand that that is one of the first principles of reigning and ruling of the kingdom, it is called faithfulness. When you are more faithful to sporting events, more faithful to the things of the world, and put that in your children, I hope if the Lord tarries, that you're putting in them enough that they will be able to discern as more deception is poured out in the world. Because if you have not propagated their mind with the Word of God, you are raising future people that have nothing problem with accepting alternate lifestyles, atheism, Middle Eastern belief system. Oh, this is making us feel better. Let me get out of this. One of the things we've got to do is guard our conversations. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yes or no. I like this. For whatsoever is more than this comes of evil. Does anybody here ever have trouble with their tongue? I mean, I find out if I talk long enough, I'm going to lie. Y'all giggling out there. That fish I caught was... That fish... Well, never mind. You know, you start realizing everything we say is recorded. God has brought technology up to this level so we can understand for Him to record everything we've ever thought is no big deal on our floppy disk of the soul. Every action, it's all there. And one of the great things we can do, if you'll stand with me across this auditorium, is we can simply learn how to always be factual with what we speak. There's not a greater gift than having a friend, a spouse, a person, a pastor, that when they speak to you, it's fashion. It's not almost, not kind of, or how they want you to see it. My father, I guess, one of the reasons this hits so close to home, my wife's father, every guy, my father, Robert, my dad would put his finger in my face and suddenly you're going to find out the hardest thing you'll ever get out of people is the facts. If I can get the facts, I can make a decision. When officers come to question you, they don't want to know how you feel. They don't want to know what you think. They want to know one thing. How tall was he? What did he have on? What was he driving? Give me the facts. When we give a testimony is an awesome thing because what we really want to hear when someone testifies is how great Jesus did it and how great Jesus was. Jesus just said, guarding our conversation, let your communication be yes, no. James said it like this. He says, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, but it'll create a little fire, and the tongue is on fire, a world of iniquity, so the tongue is among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, it's set on fire from hell. We bless God with it, and we curse men with it. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. This ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Our tongue sure has caused us some problems, isn't it? I'm not going to go any further in this teaching right now because already we recognize the fact God's looking for someone serious about reigning and ruling in the world to come. And for us to have a Sunday morning personality and then we leave the building and we think no longer we are under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, God's watching you. I think if you would question my life, since I have received this greater revelation of the importance of my daily action, every word I speak, everything I do, I bet she'd tell you, I'm not asking her to respond, my husband's treating me better than I've ever seen him treat me. I bet my grandkids would say, Grandpa's given us more attention than he's ever given us. I bet my children say, Dad's calling this more than he's ever called us. I bet my dog buddies would say, Pastor's cussing less than he's ever cussed. I know we've kind of, you know, been through a little bit of a bummer of a teaching here, but sometimes it takes a little bit of swatting at to bring us back to the realization, I'm important to God. And I may not be called to go to the Himalayas to teach. And I may not be called to go to deepest, darkest Africa, but you know what I am called to, Don? I'm called to speak righteousness. I'm called to be a witness to my wife and my family. You know what I am called to do? I'm just called to do that that's right. And for some reason, I find that if I don't stay continually aware of what's right, this old boy will do wrong. And this tongue, well, it is set on fire from hell. So much more I can say. You know the joy I found in this new revelation? It makes the day so much more challenging, so much more exciting. We all enjoy challenge. But when you recognize that when you leave this building today, there is a crown set up for you. And the reward that's set up for you, I know this is going to sound bad, all has to do with what you sowed here. Because what you sow here is the fruit you will enjoy on the other side. And I can tell you that, oh, I can do it in the American way. Bless God, you're giving here. I'll tell you, God, right now, you go, man, I don't know how to follow. If you got it, just obey the word. In all your life, learn the word, obey the word, live the word. You know what happens? You will never love God the way He wants you to love Him until you begin to learn and keep more of His commandments. Because that's what produces love. Until you begin to walk in His footsteps, you'll never understand how much He loves you.
I hope something said here this morning has alerted you to the fact of every day is an awesome opportunity with possibilities to reap future rewards later. I'm going to express something to you, and I mean this with my whole heart. I'm not going to aim low. You know, I missed out a lot of things in this life. I didn't finish a lot of things I started. I didn't get a lot of the benefits that maybe I could have ended up with, but I found something better. But I'm using that to say this. I don't want to go into eternity in the world to come with not another chance to elevate what I could have been. I'm going to aim high. And I'm going to do all I can to sow in this realm. I'm going to turn off the TV more. I'm going to put my mind in the Word more. I'm going to speak more encouragement. I'm going to forgive more. I'm going to love more. I'm going to say yes and no more. And I'm going to know that there's a crown set up for me. And that makes my life exciting. God bless.